sure most of our young people recognize the account of the man who was paralyzed, and his friends had to take him to where Jesus was, and Jesus, of course, was in this house, and it was crowded, and so they had to let him down through the roof. Well, this morning, we're going to focus on that particular account, and I want us to look, as we see these different people, which one are we? Which one are we in this account? Because I think we'll find ourselves somewhere in this story. Mark chapter 2 is the particular account we're going to look at. It's also found in Luke, but we're going to look at Mark chapter 2. The background for this is found at the very end of Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 38 and 39. Jesus is talking to his followers. He says, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. And then in chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." Jesus went, as he said, from town to town in Galilee, preaching. And he would cast out demons when doing that would confirm what he said to be truth. So here he is in Capernaum, it says. He had entered it again because he had already been there before. And what happens? Well, word is out about Jesus. People are hearing about Jesus. So, goes into this house, what happens? Lots of people start coming. That's not a surprise. People know about him. Know that he's been casting out demons and performing miracles. So they come to this house. Typical houses in Capernaum in the first century may hold 50 people. Maybe. They, of course, had flat roofs. You've seen pictures of these, and they were made with, you know, branches or sticks, and they clay was put in between them to kind of make a rainproof roof. Luke's account calls them clay tiles. And so that's the building. So what happens? And this is where we need to start looking as to which one are we? Who are we in this account? So what happens? Verse 3. "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying." This man was paralyzed. He was helpless. Right? He could not carry himself. And he knew he was helpless. There was nothing he could do purposefully or personally to heal himself. In other words, he couldn't get to Jesus even though he had heard about Jesus. He couldn't get there. He was helpless. When we look at this account, I want us to notice the parallels between being paralyzed and being sinners. Notice, I want you to notice that parallel here. He was helpless to heal himself. He was helpless to get to Jesus. People today, just like in the first century, are powerless to heal themselves of sin. And it doesn't make any difference how many good works we do. I know a lot of people try and think that the more good works they do, that will heal them. That's what it takes. Good works will get me into heaven. And we hear about so many people in the world who maybe have started hospitals or went to different places in the world to help people. And we think that those good works by themselves will get them into heaven. And it just simply isn't true. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, keep Mark chapter 2 as well. But Ephesians chapter 2, notice what Paul told the church there in Ephesus about this very point. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. I know you've heard these before, but notice how they apply to what we're talking about. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I cannot save myself, just like this paralyzed man could not save himself. It was impossible. So people in the world can just fill their lives with good works, but apart from Christ, those good works have no power. In other words, they're helpless. People are helpless without Christ to be saved. There simply isn't any way. In Titus chapter 3, when Paul wrote to Titus, he mentions this very thing. Titus chapter 3, and notice what verse 5 says. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Paul wrote, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Works cannot save me apart from Christ. That's what Paul told Titus. Washing, regeneration. That, of course, happens, going back to John chapter 3 and other places, through what? Baptism. Thus the necessity, the need for it. Good works are important and they're necessary, but by themselves they cannot save anyone, regardless of how many they are or how good they are. Man is helpless to save himself, even through good works. Man needs Christ. Are you that man? You're helpless, you're powerless to save yourselves apart from Christ. Is that the category you're in today? Are you like Him? Are you out of Christ? Yeah, you may be a wonderful person, you may be a good person, you may fill your life with good works, but outside of Christ, apart from Him, those good works can't save. They're powerless. Thankfully, this man had some who were willing to help. Right? It says they brought him, his friends, whoever they were, they brought him. They were carried by four men. We don't know who they are. But obviously they cared for this man, didn't they? So what happened? Well, they couldn't get near the house, so they just stopped and took him home. Nope. Thankfully, they were more concerned about him than that. So what'd they do? They said, there's got to be a way to get in to see Jesus. This man is in desperate need to see Christ. We know Christ can heal him. The place is too full. We can't go in through the door, the window, or anything else. So they devise a plan. We know we've got to see him, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to take him on top of the roof. We're going to take apart some of those branches and sticks and the clay and so forth. Take them apart so there's enough room for us to let him down. Now that showed a lot of care and concern for him. They knew they had to do it, right? They knew he had to get in to see Jesus. So they were concerned enough about him and cared enough about him that they were going to do it. And thankfully they did just that. What did Jesus remark about them? Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. He doesn't say a word about the paralytic's faith. But he says when he saw their faith. They had enough faith that they knew that they needed to get him to see Jesus. And again, notice the parallel. Are we a helper? Are we one of those people who are trying to bring people to Christ? Because we know that without Christ, they are helpless, they're powerless, they are lost. So are we one of those people, are we in that category or that class or that group where we're wanting and doing whatever we can to bring people to Christ. I'm going to list four things that Brother Duncan wrote about this particular verse that I thought was appropriate. Just as the paralyzed man's friends cared, we need to care about those in sin. Just as they were willing to get involved, we should be willing to get involved. Just as they had faith, we need to have faith in the power of the gospel. And it's just as they faced the fact their friend was sick with a very serious illness, we must face the fact that those without the gospel are lost, and that is serious. This paralyzed man was in serious condition. It was not like having a cold. He was in serious shape. So they knew he needed Jesus. So whatever it was going to take, they were going to do. That must be our attitude toward those who are lost. We first of all need to realize that they truly are in serious condition without Christ. Yes, they may be good people. They may not do a whole lot of sinful things. And they may fill their life with good works. But apart from Christ, they are still lost, and that's serious. See, that needs to be our attitude. We need to do what we can to assist them, help them, bring them to Christ. But we first have to admit that they need Christ. And then we have to care for them enough to actually do whatever we can to bring them to Christ. Sometimes just bringing them to church services, that may be enough. Sometimes having or teaching the Bible to them may be enough. Notice what Jesus considered important when he went to that house. What was he doing in the house? What does it say? He was preaching the Word. That's what he was doing. Why? Because it was powerful. That's what Romans 1:16 says, right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So when people are taught or when they hear the gospel, we have to have enough faith to believe that the gospel is sufficient to save. They had faith that Jesus could save. We need to have faith that the gospel can convert people to Christ. Maybe it's just giving them a tract. Maybe they'll read the tract and realize maybe good works aren't enough. Maybe I do need Christ. So I need to be one of those people who are helping. Well, now we see some other people in here. Let's go on with our account. Jesus said in verse 5, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" What were these people doing? They were trying to hinder this man from being saved. That's what they were doing. But also, so were the people that were crowding him in the house. That was a hindrance. God forbid we ever hinder people from obeying the gospel. Number one, Satan does that all the time. Satan is alive and well in our world. He's very active in our world. He has power as well. And he tries to hinder people from obeying the gospel. And he'll do whatever he can in his power to do that. Read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We'll see what he is doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The God of the age has blinded. The devil will try to do anything he can to keep people from learning and obeying the gospel. That's his job now, isn't it? He tried to stop Christ, but that didn't work. So now, his main job is trying to keep people from obeying the gospel, hindering them, and he's going to do whatever we can. Sometimes it's people's relatives and family that try to keep them from obeying the gospel. Jesus knew that when he came. You know, Matthew chapter 10, he talks about how it's going to be people of your own family who are your biggest enemies. And that's been true since the first century. It's true today. Sometimes it's family that try to keep people from obeying the gospel. And how sad that is. But that's true and always will be true. And of course, the world is out there trying to keep us from obeying the gospel as well. The world is tugging at us. The world is enticing us. Look how fun the world is. Look how fun it is. You don't need Christ. You need the world. So the world is out there tugging and pulling, hindering people from obeying the gospel. But here comes Christ. And what does Christ do? He says that, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." He was the only one that had power. That was true in the first century. That's true today. He is the only one that has the power to forgive sins. The only one. We can't go and worship at an idol. We can't go to some priest or some particular religious guru today and them have power to do that. Nobody does. Nothing does. This man went to the one who could truly heal him, and it was only Jesus that could do that. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way that goes to the Father. The only one. There are no others. There's no power in any world religions. You can't go to any world religion and be saved because they don't go through Christ." And Christ made it clear that it was only Him. And why? Because He's the only one that died for you. Plain and simple. So there's no other way to the Father. Yes, there were people there who criticized. There were people there who hindered. Some claim this Christ was blaspheming people. Or blaspheming. He can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. Well, when Jesus said He could forgive sins, He was doing what? He was saying He was God. Because God truly is the only one that can forgive sins. And that's just as true today. He's the only one. No one else has that power. Nobody. That has not changed. Where are we? Where are you in that account? Where are you in that story? Which one are you most like? Are you like the paralyzed one? You're helpless and powerless because you don't have Christ? Well, Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me. If you believe in me, come to me. If you believe in me, come willing to turn away from your past life and turn to me." We call that repentance. Come to me and openly acknowledge that you have faith in me. We call that confession. Come to me, and just as I died, was buried, and rose again, you can be too. Rise to become a new creature. Are you a helper? Are you engaged in trying to bring people to Christ? Do you do that? Whoever those people are you trying to bring them to Christ, or are you hindering them from Christ? Where are you in this story? Where are you in this account? Which one are you most like? If you're hindering people, you need to ask to be forgiven. And you might need to publicly acknowledge you need to be forgiven because you've been hindering people by your bad example, by what you've been doing, where you've been going, what you've not been doing. And maybe you need to publicly ask for forgiveness because you've been doing that. Or if you're powerless, you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and today is the day you need to do that. The power is in His blood. We know that because the gospel tells us. This morning, if you need to come, don't wait until tonight or next week, but come as we stand and sing this song.